Well, amen. The music's been great all week, and tonight, Majesty Music has been, they've blessed us, the choir has blessed us. For time's sake, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, I want to look at a thought that God gave me. We've been dealing with it in our church as we've gone through the portion. We often decide how we ought to treat government officials, and many times we have folks that question whether we should be involved in any way in reaching government officials and teaching and sharing with government officials. Should we go to them? Should we go to City Hall? Should we go to the school board? Should we reach out to meet the needs of government officials? When I began to read in Luke, I often read Luke and wonder. I love the Christmas story, and I love all the different truths that we find about the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Luke. But as I began to read, I was stirred by verses 1 through 4. I want you to notice in verses 1 through 4, and it says this, "For as much as many have taken into hand, to hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Lord, I pray that you'll bless in this time. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. God, what you've already done today, and God, we still have another day to go down and influence government leaders. And I pray that you'll just stir our hearts from the Word of God tonight. Thank you for what we've already heard from Dr. Gibbs. May we be willing to sacrifice ourselves. May we be living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God. But tonight, I pray that you'll just stir our hearts, and may we just be excited about Jesus. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read the Bible lets us in on a dialogue between Dr. Luke and a Roman official named Theophilus. I've always read Luke, but I've never looked at the first four verses and just grasped what God is doing in these verses. As I noticed, Dr. Luke believed to be a Gentile physician. Theophilus, a Roman government official who had trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, or he had been led to Christ by Dr. Luke. Yet we find people say, "Pastor Creed, I just think those politicians, they're dirty." And believe me, I've been in the elevator with some of them, and they're dressed nice, but boy, I think the things that come out of their mouths, it's very interesting. I've been in their offices, and I've heard them talk, and sometimes I blush, and sometimes they blush. But I understand this, that they are souls for which Jesus Christ died, just like the bus kid, just like your neighbor, just like your sister, just like your brother. We need to reach out to government officials. As I read the scriptures, I realized this thought. People say, "I just don't see this political activity in the Bible." And I have to say, you don't. Because when I read the Bible, especially in Luke chapter 1, in the first four verses, we see Dr. Luke, not even a preacher, but he is a proclaimer of the gospel. He is reaching out to a government official to help him talk about Jesus. When I read this scripture, I began to think about that thought or that song, "Let's Talk About Jesus." Anybody ever remember singing that song? We sang it on the bus. We sang it again on the bus. We sang it in church. We sang it in Sunday school. But I tell you what, it never got old. And we need to learn to talk about Jesus more and more. When I looked at this situation, I understand this. Oh, most excellent Theophilus, I would like to share a few things with you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, "For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God," understand this, "but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We find that God uses a man, a doctor, a Gentile named Luke, to speak the truth of Jesus. It's almost like he was saying, "Oh, Theophilus, let's talk about Jesus more and more." I think about what happened today, and there were people, I tell you, a group of fellows went into one office, the guy cleared out the office, set up the chairs, and they said they just had a meeting. We had Vicki Hartzler come in, and boy, I tell you what, she might as well just preach the message, amen? And what a wonderful testimony this farm girl had that God is using as salt and light on Capitol Hill. But I see this man named Luke, and as I read these first four verses, I was stirred in my heart that God is interested in leaders of government. You say, how do you know? I read, and let me just give you a few thoughts. If you look in verse 1, and I just want to kind of go through some words and just give you some truth. We'll move through this quickly, but the first thing I wrote down is biblical truth. God wants us to give these leaders, these individuals, and I believe he wants us to give others biblical truth. Notice the words, and I challenge you just to focus on what's happening. Luke 2:11. I love the Bethlehem story. I love the baptism story of Jesus. I love the temptation and how Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." But you say, "Pastor, what is it all about?" It is a doctor that got consumed with sharing Jesus with a newly saved government official. What do you mean? He shared biblical truth. If you'll notice in verse 1, "For as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order," notice this, "a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Notice that, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. I underlined that phrase, and I realized that he was talking about biblical truth. He was talking about the faith that we stand on tonight. Luke comes and he says this, I'm standing on the rock of ages. I'm standing on the truths of the Word of God. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." We have a faith in which we believe. We, in Acts chapter 2, it's called the Apostles' Doctrine. We go through the Bible in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And as I get to read and I begin to read this story of what is taking place, here is a wonderful doctor. He's a companion of the Apostle Paul on missionary journeys, but he says this, "I've got something important to do. I've got to get with this government official and tell him about Jesus." That ought to be our heart for our mayor. It ought to be our heart for those leaders that we're trying to influence. Here's a man that got saved. Many folks believe that, and I have several things that I've heard, but many believe that he was a prominent leader, influential Roman leader that got saved. He had a beautiful palace. Luke and others would go there and preach the gospel in this palace. But this man got saved, and Luke said, "You just began. You've just taken that first step. Let's get involved in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ." He takes time to share biblical truth. You say, "Pastor, what is this biblical truth?" It is the doctrine of the faith. It is that which we stand on. And let me say, government leaders need it just like we need it. There was a government shutdown, I'll never forget, and I was teaching my Bible study class back in the other building, and the government shutdown went into a Sunday, and a man named Daniel Webster came into my class. And he sat down in the back of the class. Nobody in the class knew who in the world he was. He sat down, and I kept teaching, and I kind of grinned, and we went on with it. And as I got finished, I said, "Let's welcome Representative Daniel Webster to our Sunday school class." And people were like, "Whoa, what's that?" You know, and he was there. He came and sat right down here in the front, and he was there just to hear about Jesus.
He was in church to hear about Jesus. There are pastors that have ministered in our church, in this church tonight, that ministered to him and shared the faith with Daniel Webster. I'm glad he got saved. I'm glad he rode a bus. I'm glad he's a Sunday school teacher, but thank God somebody helped him get grounded in the faith. And that doesn't need to stop tonight. That needs to happen. As we go, may we not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be willing to share the faith. Notice a second thing. I notice this, that thought of holy men of God. Look in verse 2, what it says. Now, I love the description here. Even as they delivered them, what? The doctrines of the faith unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. He said, I want you to know the truth that we share, it was seen. We have eyewitnesses sharing the truth about Jesus. He says this, notice, he says, and ministers of the word. I love that. That word ministers has the thought, it literally, when you look the word up, and the thought of under rowers. In other words, those men that would be down in the bottom of the boat, they all would have an oar, a man would call out a cadence, and they would all work together. And as they would all work together, they would row that boat, and the boat would pick up speed, and they would, under rowers, all working together. And he says this, these men were ministers of the word. They were under rowers. They were folks that advanced a truth, advanced the boat. But we understand this, we as preachers, going down to Capitol Hill, going into our area, we are under rowers for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the thought. It says ministers of the word. They all work together to convey the truth. And I love it. Luke doesn't leave himself out. Notice what he says as he goes through this. And he says, it seemed good to me also. Having had a perfect, boy, I love that. That word perfect, and you say, Pastor, why are you defining all these words? It's just good to understand what he's saying. He said, I just had an exact recall. He said, I saw it, and I know what I saw. And he comes and he shares this thought. He says, he said, I had an exact understanding of all things from the very first. Oh, Theophilus! I know about Jesus. I talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus, but understand this. I have seen Jesus. I know what took place. I'm an eyewitness. Hey, folks, we know what has taken place in our lives. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what an opportunity. Oh, what a privilege. I've read Luke, and as I've read Luke, many times I've read it as a gospel, and I've read a book, and you know, and taken the theme of the book of Luke and read through the book of Luke. But when I began to read the first four verses of Luke, it just totally changed my life. You say, why? Because we see a man, an ordinary man that is a doctor. He leads somebody to Christ, or he takes a baby Christian that is a government official, and he said, I'm not going to leave him down. I'm going to disciple this man. We're going to talk about Jesus. And we need to do the same in this day. Oh, I want you to understand this, that I saw it, O Theophilus. And I love this. He comes down, he says, to write unto thee, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He said, I came, and he said this, I wanted to give you everything I could give you in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, I saw him. I have perfect, exact understanding. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's exciting to realize that right in the first four verses of the book of Luke, we find a man that says this, I'm going to make sure this man gets grounded in the Word of God, in the faith. Now, I love he says, he makes another statement. It's very interesting. He says, all things from the very first to write unto thee. And what are those next two words? Anybody see that? In order. You might want to underline that. Because Luke goes through the book of the book here in Luke. We find Luke goes through and he takes event by event in the Lord Jesus Christ's life. And he breaks them down. Let me just share with you. Luke comes to place, he shares event by event of the life of Jesus Christ. He shares John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He comes and he mentions, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He goes a little bit further and he talks about Christ's baptism. We find that Christ's temptation in the wilderness is revealed. And every time that Christ was tempted, he proclaimed the word of God and the devil finally left him. Oh, Theophilus, understand, there is something that will help you in your life. The word of God. When the old devil's tempting you, just pull out the word of God and the devil will flee. He comes and he says this. He shares Christ's deity. Well, I tell you what, I've been studying it. It just gets better and better as I go through the book of Luke. There's one chapter and I said, Lord, what is this all about? And all of a sudden I began to see the Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God. He'd tell a story and he'd be somewhere and it's the Son of God. This is the Son of God. The devil knows that he's the Son of God. The demons know that he is the Son of God. And it's exciting to realize, even the people in his hometown realized that this man was the Son of God. But we find the deity of Jesus Christ. Oh, Theophilus, do you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? We see his miracles. We see his betrayal. We see his suffering. We see Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection, and it's true. But he says this, I want you to understand this. Theophilus, I want to tell you about Jesus. Every time we get together, let's just talk more about Jesus. Let's go through the life of Jesus. Let's understand about Jesus. Let's see how we ought to walk like Jesus. And then he comes down, and he said, but I'm not through. I'm not through talking to you about Jesus. If you go to Acts chapter 1, look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, I want to give you a second volume of discipleship. Boy, we are really weak in our discipleship. When I read the book of Luke, I realize that sometimes we're pretty weak in our discipleship. Here's a doctor discipling a Roman official. And that's what Luke is about. But you look in Acts chapter 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. He comes and he says this, hey, we just talked about the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. But I want to tell you about the church at Jerusalem and when the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church. I want to tell you about the Apostle Paul and how he began to preach. He was called, separated. He went into his missionary journeys. And I just want to tell you about a man named Barnabas. He was waiting for somebody to come share the gospel with him. And in chapter 10. And I want to tell you about a man named Saul on the road to Damascus. Oh, Theophilus, may we understand that God changes lives. Amen. Jesus can make you different. And I tell you what, it thrills my soul just to look in the Bible and see that God's interested in politicians and leaders. And he can use a doctor. He can use a preacher. He can use a layman here tonight to just preach the truth to others. May we get a grasp of that. I'll tell you what, you ought to just read verses 1-4 in each of those chapters and just kind of drive your pegs in. And just understand what God gave us a picture of in Luke chapter 1:1-4. I see holy men and I see it in order. He said he shares in order, but I'm not finished. Now let me get this leader and let me get this. And leaders need to be saved, and I believe they need to be discipled in the truths of the faith. But I want you to notice verse 4 of Luke chapter 1. And I want you to see how serious Luke was about this. Notice what he says in Luke chapter 1. And look at verse 4. That thou mightest know the certainty. Isn't that good? He said that you might know, teaching. I love that verse. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28 and 20. Oh, Theophilus, I'm so glad you're saved. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, don't stay where you are. Finish out your salvation. You're saved. You're as saved as you'll ever be, but mature in your salvation. Grow in your salvation. Come to a place that you mature. Complete your salvation. Come to a place where you're not just saved, but you grow just like a new babe in Christ. He comes and he says, I want you to know of a certainty. And I looked at that thought of certainty, and it has the thought of security or safety. Well, I like to be secure and safe. And he comes to this man and he says, that thou mightest know of a certainty of these things. He says, I want you to understand, I want you to be secure in the Word of God. Be secure in the truth. Well, I'll tell you what, the truth changes lives tonight. There's nothing that changes lives like the Word of God. And may we get a holy grip on the truth that we find in this portion. Oh, Dr. Luke, thank you for the missionary journey, and thank you for traveling with the Apostle Paul, and thank you for all, but thank you for giving us an example tonight of how we can help others to just grow. And let's talk more about Jesus. I looked at this. He says, wherein thou hast been instructed. It literally has the thought. It has the thought, wherein thou hast been instructed. He says this, wherein thou hast been instructed or indoctrinated. It literally has the thought of somebody to sit down, and it has the thought to sound down to ears. In other words, it has the thought of a teacher standing up. And I experienced this for 12 years, and then I said, thank the Lord, I'm free from school. And then my dad said, you need to go to college. I said, you got to be kidding me, okay? I just got out of school. Well, you need to go back to school. And those instructors, they get in front of us, and they sound down to our ears. In other words, they share with us. And boy, what a privilege and what a truth to see the man of God saying, I care about the government official, the Roman leader, and I just want to share more about Jesus. You say, Pastor, you've said that about 50 times. Well, repetition is the key to learning, amen? You say, Pastor, what is the truth tonight? May we be excited about reaching others with Jesus and seeing them get saved. But number two, may we be excited about sharing the faith with them. You've led people to the Lord. How are they tonight? Have you spent some time with them? I've been convicted. I went through the book of Luke, event by event, and I put lines there. Many times it says, and it came to pass, and then the next one says, it came to pass, and so I could. But the more and more I read the Word of God, I realized that God's truth about the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed by a doctor to a government official to see his life changed. To see his life changed. We have a day. We have one more day to go down. And folks, I hope you'll come out as a mighty team tomorrow. We have a lot to do. There's a lot of work to do. Out in the hallways, there's a lot of work to do. And you say, well, my state's done. Well, don't be content with your state. Amen? You need to go ahead and get into somebody else's state. And we need to get out and share the truth again with another group of people. But understand this, even those rotten politicians need to be saved. I mean, there's some people, if I mention your name, you laugh right now. But they're souls that Jesus Christ died for. They need to be saved. I wonder how many people didn't ever think the Apostle Paul would get saved. Saul of Tarsus would get saved. Man, he was changed. He was changed. And then a man named Barnabas said, let's talk about Jesus. And took some time with Saul, and he became Paul. How many of you look at those politicians and say, there's no help? But I'll tell you what, they need to be saved. And they need to be discipled in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple truth, yet a powerful truth if you'll just sit down on it and chew on it a little bit and understand that we have that privilege even today, just as Dr. Luke.